Christ our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's one group in the Bible that I think gets very bad press. And some of it might be earned reputation, but I think some of it was a little bit exaggerated. Those were the group that we call the Pharisees. And I remember thinking that the Pharisees for many years were the bad guys, until I studied a little more about the group called the Pharisees. These were people who theologically were very close to Jesus. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in the prophetic writings. And they truly tried throughout their lifetime to help the people of Israel not only learn about the faith, but practice the faith. Now, they did not appreciate some of the things that Jesus did. But they also were very concerned because they knew that Jesus was heading down a very dangerous path. And they knew that whenever there was a group that was gathering in an occupied place like Israel, that trouble could happen. Israel was not a democratic area. It was an occupied nation, and it was a police state. And Rome had no patience for any kind of spontaneity. Rome had no patience for protest. And the Pharisees were truly afraid that whenever Jesus came by, great crowds would follow, and it always seemed that trouble was afoot. So you could understand their trepidation when that day that we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus goes in on a donkey, the Pharisees of all people would have known what that symbolism was all about. I'm not sure even the disciples, who were mainly uneducated fishermen and day laborers, would have understood the symbolism, but the Pharisees understood it. Because any time in the Old Testament when a king wanted to come in peace, he would come riding a donkey. And people would spread their cloaks out and wave branches as a sign of respect for the king. And so here they see this great parade, the donkey coming along. Here's Jesus on the donkey, and people are putting their cloaks out, and they're all praising. And the Pharisees were frightened. You notice what they asked him? Teacher. It was a sign of respect. They respected this man. They knew he was a great teacher. And they said, please get your disciples to be quiet. I could understand their fear. If the Roman authorities saw this, and if they got any inkling that there was a governmental figure, somebody, a liberator coming along, there'd be trouble in Jerusalem. Teacher, get your disciples to be quiet. Now, we don't know why the disciples were all in a foment praising that day. I happen to think it's because for the years that Jesus was in ministry, what did he say after every miracle? After every time he would do something great, he'd say, don't tell anybody about this. And I loved when he'd say, be quiet, because then more people would find out. You know, typical small town, if you tell people it's a secret, it gets out faster than if it's publicized. That's what we should do from now on. We shouldn't publicize anything in the paper. Just say it's a secret, and we'll get more people in church. It's a secret. So people could not praise. They had to be very quiet about it, and they went from town to town, and Jesus kind of pushed them aside when they would try to praise him about anything. But today, he allowed it. And I am sure that the people in that crowd, I don't think it was just 12, they said the multitude of disciples. Oftentimes, we think of disciples as 12 people, but it says here that there were a multitude, a big crowd of disciples. I'm sure in that crowd were people who were blind and now could see. I'm sure in that crowd there were the deaf whose ears were open. I'm sure in that crowd there might have been that woman who was suffering from hemorrhages for years and now was healed. I'm sure in that crowd Lazarus and his sisters were there shouting with the rest. in that crowd, there were many who saw great miracles, who saw the winds and the waves ceased, and they couldn't help but cry out and praise. There are some times in our lives that we can't help but cry out and praise. And so the Pharisees say, you know, you got to tone it down, Jesus. It's a little too much. You got to tell them to be quiet. And what does Jesus say? It's one of my favorite lines. He said, if these were silent, the very rocks would cry out. And I was kind of hoping that the Bible said afterwards, everybody got silent and the rock started shouting. That would have been a lot of fun to watch, wouldn't it? To have a real rock band, the original rock band. But that didn't happen. The people just kept shouting. But that image has stayed in my mind for years, the rocks crying out. And I think that the rocks do cry out. There are many churches in this country that are made of stone. And the rocks cry out every Sunday morning and stand in silent witness during the week of a Savior. I know that cemeteries have rocks over the graves of the people, and they cry out. I used to love to go through old cemeteries. The Moravians, not our particular cemetery, but many Moravian cemeteries have an old system in burying people. They don't bury people with their nuclear families. They bury them in what they call the choir system, because the idea is that we are all the family of God. So they'll have a section in the graveside that says single sisters, one that says single brothers, another that says married brothers and married sisters. I was walking through one of these cemeteries, and all the stones are flat, and they're about 3 feet long and maybe 1.5 feet wide, so you can put a lot of content on them. And many would talk about, you know, who was buried there, and maybe wife or mother, and then you could find the other stones someplace else from the other member of the nuclear family. But some would have messages. And one time I walked by a stone, and the message said, Pilgrim, I once stood where you now stand. Freaked me right out. I didn't go to a cemetery for years after that, but it gave me a message. The rocks even cry out. In Peter describes us this way. He says, come to him, Jesus, a living stone, and like living stones yourselves, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. We are God's stones. And so what are those spiritual sacrifices? I believe they are the praises that we bring, not only on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. When I think of Jesus, when I think of the grace and the mercy of God, I cannot help but praise. When I think of the times in sorrow, when I've been in darkness, and the loving arms of the Holy Spirit were around me and kept me through that time, I can only praise him. When I think of the guidance of the Holy Spirit throughout my life, when I was a young person and I wished that God would have a road map and just point it out to me each way, and I didn't understand that I'd have to kind of wend my way through, and I look at my life now and I say, thank you, Lord, for the guidance, I can only shout in praise to God. When I think of the beauty of this earth, I can't help but praise. This week, when I was on the phone about 3 or 4 times a day with my young nephew, who used to be, you know, a few feet tall and holding his auntie's hand, and now he was wending his way to San Diego. He said, it was on my bucket list, Auntie. He's 21 years old. He said, it's on my bucket list. I wanted to drive across country. And he's driving to the first ship that he's going to be serving on. And about 4 or 5 times a day, he would call and say, Auntie. And we'd chat along the way, and he'd describe the tumbleweed that he was going through and a dust storm that he was driving through. I can't help but praise. When I look around, rocks cry out. We are living stones, and every day of our lives, we're to reflect his grace, his mercy, and his praise. I had a running argument with my dear husband when we were first married because Bob and his family did not celebrate birthdays. He would not tell anyone when his birthday was, January 7th.
Write that down.
And he would love it when that would sneak by and no one would know. But I told him, as he became famous being the husband of a pastor, that the celebration wasn't really about him. And it wasn't about his needs. It was that people need every once in a while to be able to say thank you and to celebrate somebody else's life. That's what the disciples did that day. They were celebrating Jesus' life. That's what we do every Sunday. We're celebrating. It's something we need to do. We can't help but praise him. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful to you for your grace and mercy that has sustained us through dark times, for the love that you lavish on us, all the wonderful people that are in our lives, we are so grateful. And we cannot help but praise you today. We ask that our lives would reflect that praise each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you